Smashing, smoking, smitten, smiling smirkers. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 119. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your school of scone scoffing scallywag scholars.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And
I'm back.
You are back.
What did you guys do when I was gone?
We talked about breastfeeding, which was kind of related.
I'm going to need to know a lot about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, or not me
personally.
Listen
to our dairy episode.
Yeah.
Last episode.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You need to look up. Actually, if this will be a little test. Do you know what witch's milk is, Chris?
Yes. Yeah. Wait. Is it like milk from a woman who like isn't pregnant? Like,
that was my guess. No, that's not what it is.
What is it?
It is a. Sometimes when the baby is born, the baby will have breast milk in the baby breast.
In the baby?
Yeah.
That's clearly a witch.
And this episode is brought to you by our awesome sponsor, Warby Parker. Revolutionary way to get cool prescription or non-prescription glasses that's hassle-free and fun and super affordable. And I have a couple pairs. I know Dana has a pair. And this is how it works. You go online to Warby Parker. And you can pick up to 5 glasses for their home try-on program for free. Try them on and decide which one is the winner. Send back the samples in the pre-stamped box and order the pair you want online after filling in your prescription info. Their glasses are hip, are stylish, and brainy, and they start at just $95, and that's, of course, frames and lenses. And it's summertime, so Warby Parker also has a whole spiffy collection of sunglasses for you, too. And of course, we've mentioned this before, there's the Colonel Monocle.
Yes.
And it is sold out.
Oh.
I bet.
That's the Good Job Brain effect.
Yeah. No more Colonel Monocle. I mean, you can see it online, but it is sold out and
you
not-
You can look, but you can't touch.
You can't touch.
I still need to check and see if they have the sunglasses version of the monocle. Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to look fashionable and yet still be eye smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So head on over to warbyparker.com/brain and get 3-day expedited shipping. All right, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card and you guys have your morning zoo radio zoo buzzers ready. Here we go. First question, Blue Wedge for geography. What drink's Gaelic name means water of life?
Whoa, sorry.
Chris.
Whiskey.
Correct. Yeah. It is whiskey. All right. Pink Wedge for pop culture. Who was the only American member of the Monty Python comedy troupe? Colin.
That's Terry Gilliam.
Yes, Terry Gilliam. Also filmmaker.
Yes, of some note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say, you guys. I just want to let you know.
Okay. You're right.
Not to take anything away from Colin.
I can hear you.
Yellow Wedge, who left her dog named Trouble $12 million in her will?
Oh,
Colin.
I think this is Leona Helmsley.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
The Queen of Mean.
Yes.
She was heiress to or owned hotels, right?
Yeah, primarily, I think that's where, real estate, hotels, apartments, all that.
Yep.
It's a fascinating Wikipedia page.
Dana approved.
Yeah.
Note here says, a judge reduced the amount to from $12 million to $2
million. Yeah, okay. The dog didn't have very good lawyers, apparently.
His dog name is Trouble. All right, Purple Wedge. What American pop star wrote the children's book The English Roses?
American.
It's
Dana.
Madonna?
Correct.
Oh.
Madonna. Okay. All right, Green Wedge for science? Multiple choice. About how often do sloths poop?
Wow.
Oh.
Poop is printed
this multiple
on
choice?
This card. Yes.
Okay.
That's interesting. Okay.
Once a day, once a week, or once a month?
Ooh.
Colin,
once a month.
Incorrect.
I'm sad that continuously was not one of them.
He's pooping right now.
Chris.
Once a week.
Once a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if it was once a day,
Yeah.
Then
like,
I could be
a sloth. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's why you move so slow. It's only once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm coming. Hang on.
Oh, he could poop more. Yeah. But once a week.
It doesn't say how long he poops for, though. That's the next question.
Right. Six days.
Yeah. But it starts once a week.
It starts once a week. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Orange Wedge. Ooh, we had this question before in pub trivia. Who was the first African American head coach to win a Super Bowl?
Oh. Yeah.
Colin.
Colin, then as now, was the only person who knew.
Who even could venture, I guess.
I believe that is Tony Dungy.
Correct. Note here says, Dungy's Colts beat the Bears 29-17 in Super Bowl XLI, which is what?
41.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, look at him with the Roman numerals.
10 less than 50 plus 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The Romans, they were probably really good at adding and subtracting because they had to do it constantly.
All the time.
It's like, let's see, L minus X.
French time, too. French numbers.
Yeah.
Also, lots of addition. Like,
subtraction.
Especially with time.
Oh, right.
Four times 20.
All right. Good job, brains. This week, we're in the middle of summer. Lots of people are traveling. Lots of people are doing their family vacation. We thought we would dedicate this episode to traveling, tourism, vacation hotspots. So this week, we're hitting the road. So our first stop in this tourism-themed episode, our first stop is in Australia. And here I have a lovely package, a letter here from Jason from Australia, who sent us a care package filled with Aussie goodies. And here, let me read part of his letter. He says, Dear Karen, Dana, Colin, and Chris, firstly, you guys are great, and thank you. Every week you bring joy into my day and my walks from the moment the GJB jingle hits my ears. I'm having a great time, and there's a spring in my step. It really means a great deal to me, and I appreciate all the work you guys put in making a fantastic show, which leads me to the care package from Sydney, Australia. So here we have a big care package from Jason, filled with... We have like a little stuffed kangaroo, some Australia magnets, and also plenty of Australian candy.
Oh.
Lots of Australian candy.
We're not going to do a taste test, but let me just kind of walk through.
It all tastes good, probably.
It all tastes good.
Yeah.
We
only taste gross candies.
That's true. Yeah. We don't taste good ones.
Nobody tunes in to hear us saying, oh, it's pretty good.
What awesome chocolate. Thank
you. Right, exactly. They're here for the train wreck or nothing.
they're here for pain. A large percentage of this care package is filled with Tim Tams.
Yeah.
And, yes.
A lot of us are familiar with Tim Tams. Definitely an Australian specialty. It's a...
It's sort of like a Twix.
Yeah. It's candy-like.
It's not... Yeah, right.
That's probably the closest American equivalent.
Right. Like a cookie-ish sort of layer with chocolate all around it and then other stuff in there, too. So you can just eat Tim Tams, and that's fine. I cast no judgment on you whatsoever if you simply decide to eat the Tim Tam. But what one of my Australian friends taught me, and what I believe Jason encouraged us to do in the letter. Yes.
Let us introduce this great tradition.
The Tim Tam Slam!
Yeah!
Boosh!
Intro.
It sounds intense.
Yeah. So we're going to make Colin do it.
Okay.
And so this is how you do a Tim Tam Slam. You take the Tim Tam, which is a rectangular, imagine a rectangular about the size of like, it's about the size of a centimeter high stack of business cards.
Yeah.
And like then, a hotel soap.
Exactly.
Hotel soap.
Yeah. Yep, there we go. Tim Tam is about the size of a hotel soap. You bite off one corner, just a little bit, then you bite off the opposite diagonal corner, just a little bit, and then you place it into coffee. You stick one of the bitten off corners into coffee as if you were gonna use it like a straw.
Uh-huh.
And then you suck up coffee into the Tim Tam, which
chocolate cookie straw.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay.
It will fall apart. But importantly, the Tim Tam will hold its structural integrity together. Once you have filled it up with coffee by means of inhaling the coffee into it, you can pop the whole thing into your mouth. And from there upon, it will explode into creamy, chocolatey coffee cookie goodness.
I'm down.
It just, it, I mean, it renders it almost like drinking something. Like, yeah, it's like so, you don't have to work
like
your mouth and chew it.
Yeah,
it's, it's very, very good.
Very strange.
I like that, so, a hot milkshake. That's
Jason
good.
Has
yeah.
sent us many different flavors yes. of Tim Tam with which to do this. Salted caramel, to me, as a Tim Tam Slam veteran, I don't want to say veteran, pro-am.
Okay.
is probably the best one to do. Okay. I think it would taste really good with coffee.
Let's do it.
And here, just in case bad happens.
I think I will need some napkins. Thank you. Okay.
So, Colin, if you do it right, you won't need napkins.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. Okay. So again, make sure that this diagonal corner you've now kind of created is fully immersed into the coffee.
Okay. All right.
Then here's the really important part. As soon as you will know when the coffee has gone all the way through. As soon as coffee goes into your mouth, get the whole thing into
slam
your
it
mouth.
In. All right.
Slam it in.
Here we go.
You don't have to chew it just wait right. for it to...
I've verified it's not a hotel soap. Here we go.
Okay.
That was fast.
That was a lot faster than I thought.
Couldn't even get a picture of it.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah,
it
right?
It is, huh? It's like a hot milkshake.
That is really good. And it was way faster than I thought. I'm going to have to suck on this thing for
a couple.
It was
like 1 second.
Very good.
Tim Tam Slam. There you go. Okay. An Australian favorite.
So I've noticed, I don't know if this is a super...
Now that you're nourished.
Now that I've got some more caffeinated and sugar. It's a little hot in here, huh? I've noticed recently in the last few years, I don't know if this is just like a social media thing. I guess it kind of has to be. But, you know, when people will go on a trip now, sometimes their only update, you know, will just be like SFO arrow LAX. It's a thing. And, I've probably done it myself.
With the airplane emoji.
Right. Okay. Or it's, you know, it's fun if you have like a multi-stop, you know, connection of like 3 or 4 airports. And it's just, it's a thing. And if, you know your airport codes, you know what city the person's talking about. So like in that example I just gave, it's pretty straightforward, I think. It's San Francisco, SFO, and Los Angeles, LAX. So when we do these three-letter codes, like, that's a very specific thing, all right? And I have put together a quiz for you guys the IATA codes, the International Air Transport Association.
I love it!
I know Karen in particular loves these.
I don't know why. Like, there's something, just three-letter, I don't know.
You've made awesome, like, puzzles before had them.
That's right.
I feel like this is really a Karen Colin talking to each other segment. Like, he's like, PDX.
Five places.
Some of these are really obscure. I mean, they're for every major airport in the world. Okay. No. I didn't put any of the obscure ones on my quiz. Okay. So I tried to keep this, make this fun for everybody here.
Sure.
I think these are all guessable. Some of them may be a little more obscure, but for the most part, I think they're guessable. So these codes go back to the 30s, actually, is when they really kind of started in earnest. And before then, like, a lot of airports had two-digit codes, and some of the old two-digit codes, when they converted over to three-digit codes, they just added an X on the end. So, like, LAX was originally just LA, and it kind of makes sense for, like, you know, international. Like, I kind of, it just made sense of it that way. I found out that Phoenix, which is PHX, seems to work perfectly, originally was just PH. It just happens to be a very nice coincidence that the town already ends in the letter X. So here we go. This is the airport code quiz, a.k.a. why Newark got shafted. And we'll come back around to that at the end. All right.
Dang.
Yeah. I got to keep the listeners interested. So we'll start with some American cities here. Okay. PDX, for instance. We just talked about this one. Yeah.
Portland.
That is Portland, Oregon. What is DFW? Chris.
Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yes, that's right. Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Yeah.
Texas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
What is ANC? ANC. This is a major American city. A lot of these, you know, it's shortened. They'll just take the first few letters of the city name is a very common tactic. What city can you, Chris?
Just Anchorage, Alaska?
It is Anchorage, Alaska. Yes.
Very good.
All right, let's go a little more international. Keep in mind, sometimes they may be named after the city. Sometimes it may be named after a person. All right, we'll start off with some easy ones here. What city is MAD? Chris.
It's just Madrid,
it
Spain.
It is Madrid, Spain.
Man!
What city is PRG? PRG. Karen.
Prague.
Yes, Prague, the Czech Republic. All right, well, a little more tricky here. What city is MUC? Dana.
So it's Munich?
It is Munich. Yes.
Muck.
Muck. What city is VCE? Also in Europe. Dana.
Venice.
It is Venice. What city is SAO? Dana again.
Oh, is this Europe, you said?
No, this one is in South
Sao Paulo.
It is Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. So as I mentioned, some of these are named after people. So I'll give you the next few here. And if you know the person, it'll be pretty obvious what country we're in. What city is CDG? Karen.
Paris for Charles de Gaulle.
Absolutely right. Until 2006, this city went by the code CKS. Karen again.
Oh, Chiang Kai-shek Airport, yes. Taipei, Taiwan.
That's right.
Now TPE.
Now TPE. All right, back to some city name ones here. What city is DEL? Dana.
Is it Delhi?
It is in India, yes. New Delhi. That's right, Indira Gandhi Airport. All right, a couple of these are good trivia ones. You may just know these or not. What city is NRT? Karen?
Tokyo, Japan. It's for Narita.
Yes, Narita, right. What city is PEK? Chris.
Beijing.
It is Beijing, because it was known in the West as
Peking.
It was originally named, yes. All right. What city is YYZ? Karen.
No, never mind. I know it's in Canada.
It is the busiest Toronto. Airport in Canada. Yes, Toronto. Yeah. YYZ, the Lester Pearson International Airport.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a weird one, but a good one to know.
Yeah. All Canadian airports are with Y.
Right, you bring up a good point, which is that every country will sometimes have their own restrictions on what is and isn't allowed inside the country. So, in fact, this brings us back to why Newark got shafted. In the U.S., there are some reserved letters. The Navy has all N letter codes reserved.
Oh, okay.
So if your city starts with the letter N in the U.S., you had to shift to something else.
Okay.
There are some other reserved codes. The FCC has K and W reserved.
Okay.
So if your city starts with K and W, you have to switch to something else. So this is why, if you've ever flown in or out of Newark International Airport and have wondered why it's EWR, it's because they had to sort of shift it in. So it's like, Newark, you know, they lost the N. Good job, guys. I think you got every single one of those.
Very continental.
Okay, did you guys hear about PayPal Galactic? Have you heard of that?
No.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's a new thing PayPal is doing for space tourism. Like, so you could do banking in space. You can protect your investments.
Okay.
Who wants to have paper money and coins?
Not me.
When they're in space. Yeah, you want digital money.
Okay, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
So PayPal, one of the PayPal founders, Elon Musk, is also involved with SpaceX, which is a privatized cargo shipping business in space.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of like test flights and stuff over the last year or so, right?
What are they shipping?
Stuff to the International Space Station.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about space tourism.
Oh.
Is the burgeoning business of privatized
just leaving
intragalactic.
Yeah, exactly.
Start
leaving
small.
The surface of the Earth.
Interstellar travel. How about that?
That's between stars.
Yeah,
right?
I think even that's an overstatement. Right? We're just getting off the planet a bit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Off the planet more than plane travel.
It's gathering a lot of momentum lately, this space tourism thing. There's new Virgin Galactic.
I've heard of that.
They're building a launch pad in New Mexico.
Oh, right,
it's almost done right now. They're going to start, I think at the end of the year or early next year, they're going to start doing Virgin Galactic flights for $200,000 a seat.
Wow.
If you're interested.
How long is the trip? How long is the ride?
I mean, that opens it up to a lot of people.
That does.
You have to be wealthy
but
and not super wealthy.
Right.
So it's a 150-minute flight, and they take you about 62 miles up, and you will have 6 minutes of zero gravity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That actually does sound really cool.
Yeah. But the drink service is going to be terrible. I know.
Well, they do have a bar. When you come back down, there's a special bar for people who have taken the flight. But if you have a little more money to spend, maybe like $20 million,
a little more.
Yeah. You can actually go on a flight on the Russian spaceships to the International Space Station for about 5 days.
They've had a few people, right?
They have had a few people do it. Yeah, it's really starting to like become a thing. Amazon's working on one.
For right now, they're really, you go up in space and come back down in the same place, right? It's like more of like a pleasure cruise. It's not like a travel, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're traveling out of...
Yeah.
Out of,
to downplay 6 minutes of zero G.
Shoot you into space, you don't come back down in the same place. You come back down somewhere. Get down. Yeah. It's not random.
They know where it's going to land.
It's a long trip, and then you're not going anywhere.
Could you give them another $1 million, and then they'll tell you where you're going to land?
But the Virgin Galactic, yes, it's up and down.
What do you do when you're up there? That's my question.
You look at space. You're in space.
Okay, so you can see out.
You look out the window and look at space.
Yeah.
You can see it.
Yeah.
You can see the horizon.
And you don't have to wear really weird, like...
Oh, no, that you're wearing a suit.
You have to wear a suit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So why is this happening? It really has to do with NASA. NASA not being funded anymore. They're trying to privatize space travel. So NASA is like, oh, we'll work with a private company
if you do it.
So private enterprise is like, oh, yes, we will make you a spaceship. And we'll also try to figure out how to market this to people.
And we'll pay you. Yeah. We'll pay NASA to help us out. Mm-hmm. Within the last couple of years, there is I wouldn't say renewed interest, but there is more interest in space with, Neil deGrasse Tyson and with the Curiosity rover, and it's becoming more in people's brains.
Yeah. I've been watching Cosmos, so I got really into space. That's why I was like, oh, space tourism sounds interesting.
Space!
Travel!
All right, so you guys all know I'm a geography nut, and during the summertime is where a lot of people go to a lot of island destinations, island hot spots.
Sure.
And I don't know if you guys are like me, but there are a lot of island destinations that I've heard of. I'm like, oh, of course, I know so much about this, but I have no idea where it actually is. So here I have a quiz I'm going to call Lonely Island. Okay. And what I'm going to do is name a famous island destination, and you guys have notepads in front of you. So I need two pieces of information for you guys. I need to know what body of water the island is in, and also if it is a country by itself or a part of another country.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So, for example, I would say Crete. Crete is an island. And it is in the Mediterranean Sea, and it is part of Greece.
I would have gotten that right.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's an example.
I'm a little worried. Like, if these are ones that Karen doesn't know, I feel...
I've heard of these before. I just have no idea where it actually is.
All right. Going to have some wildly incorrect answers here.
All right. First one. Easter Island.
Oh, okay.
Where is Easter Island? Is it part of a country, or is it its own country? Easter Island, of course, famous for the face statues, the monumental statues called Moai, M-O-A-I.
Which means giant head.
Oh, really?
No, I just made that up. Sorry. Yes.
We've seen them on a lot of shows and different imagery of those big Easter Island heads.
Yeah.
Where is Easter Island? All right, and sirs, up. Well, Chris drew a picture of a bunny in the water that is incorrect.
Part of a country. Yeah.
Let's see. Dana
You know what? Now I'm thinking about Galapagos Island. Oh. But I said it was off the coast of South America. I think it's in the Atlantic and it's part of a country.
I put South Pacific and I think it's independent, but I kind of hedged my answer. I put independent. Formerly Dutch?
See, this is the thing. We know what Easter Island is famous for, but we have no idea where it is. It is in the Pacific Ocean. Pacific Ocean, and is part of Chile.
Mm. Oh. It is South America. Okay. Mm.
It is South America, part of Chile. Mm-hmm. And, Dana, you mentioned this. The next one, Galapagos Island. Where is Galapagos? of course, famous for Darwin's Destination on the HMS Beagle. Lots of lizards and tortoises.
Finches.
Answers up. Chris says Pacific. Dana says Atlantic. Colin says Pacific. It is Pacific Ocean. And it is not its own country. It is off the coast of Ecuador and part of Ecuador. So Colin is right.
Wow.
Nice.
Next island or group of islands is the Seychelles. Seychelles. Always heard about Seychelles, but where is it?
I don't know anything about islands at all.
You've heard of these. I was like, where is it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's not knowing things, though. That's having heard of things. she sells Seychelles by the seashore, but which seashore?
All right. Answers up. Body of water. Chris says Atlantic. Dana says Mediterranean Sea. And Colin says Indian. It is in the Indian Ocean. It is above Madagascar. So it is on the eastern, off the side of Africa. And it is its own country. So it's independent.
Great. We all got it.
That part. Yep.
All right. Next one. Next lonely island. Bali. Where is Bali?
Oh.
And is it its own country or not? Famous recently for Eat, Pray, Love. Was one of the destinations, which hiked up tourism, actually, for Bali. Answers up. Chris says Pacific own country. Dana says Pacific independent. And Colin says Indian and Indonesia. Some of you guys are right. Some of you guys are wrong. It is in the Pacific, and it is part of Indonesia.
Cool.
Joint answer, somewhat correct.
Somewhat correct. All right. Christmas Island.
Oh, man.
Where is Christmas Island? It's called Christmas Island because it was discovered on Christmas Day. Also, fun fact about this place, lots of coconut crabs running around on Christmas Island. Just chilling. Answers up. Colin, you put Atlantic and Dutch. Dana says Pacific, part of a country. And Chris says North Pole, part of Santa's workshop. Nice. Chris is incorrect.
Dang it.
Christmas Island is in the Pacific Ocean, and it is in Australian territory. Fun fact, the majority of the population is Chinese Australian.
Really?
Yeah, because it is kind of between Indonesia and Australia.
Okay.
Part of Australia, lots of Chinese people. Okay, next one. Party Island, Ibiza. Or Ibiza. Ibiza.
Oh, God.
Where is it?
It's on an ocean.
What body of water is it in?
Okay, I thought you were.
Here we go. Answers up. Colin says Atlantic, Spain. Dana says Mediterranean, Spain. And Chris says Atlantic, Spain. Dana's correct. It is in the Mediterranean.
I was like 50-50. Part I'm like, where
of
is it?
Spain. That's why I was like, is it an ocean? And she said body of water.
Body
and I was like,
water.
I did the reverse psychology, yeah.
All right. One of our favorite ones, Lonely Islands, Canary Islands. Where are the Canary Islands? We always talked about how it's not actually named after the bird canary. It's named after dogs because of Canis, canine. But where is the Canary Islands? Okay. Answers up. Colin says Atlantic, Spain. Dana says Atlantic, independent. And Chris says Caribbean, British. Lots of islands are Caribbean and
well,
British.
Well, sorry, yeah.
Not this one.
Oh, no.
Colin is correct. Atlantic, it's off the coast of Morocco and is part of Spain.
Okay.
All right, last one. We're not doing so good.
It's hard in the writing ones because you can't just not buzz in. You actually have to proclaim your ignorance for all to see.
Last one. The Maldives. Maldives.
Yeah, where are the Maldives?
Heard of it before. Where is it? And is it independent or part of a country? Everybody looks...
Let me just in advance apologize to the, what I'm sure the good people of the Maldives. I'm so sorry.
One person there who listens to us. It's like, they don't even know where I am.
We're so sorry.
They'll never have a meet up here.
What?
There was that old Maltese.
Okay. Malta.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Well, different. So I for sure got this wrong.
All right. Colin says South Pacific independent. Dana says Mediterranean independent. And Chris says surface on the moon Chinese. Maldives is the smallest Asian country in both population and land area. So it is independent. And it is island nation in the Lakhadweep Sea or Indian Ocean and Arabian Sea.
Okay.
So a couple choices there.
Okay.
Southwest off the coast of India.
Okay.
By itself.
Okay.
But the smallest Asian country by area and by population. So it's a good.
It's good to know like the extremes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smallest, yeah. Biggest. Yeah.
Well, I want to say good job, guys.
But it wasn't a good job.
But it wasn't a good
some
job.
Some of us got some of them.
I mean,
so
I got,
we will not be having the next meetup in the Maldives, as you say.
I think I got a piece of every question right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's good.
It was all 50-50. Yeah.
Dana's 50-50 tour guide company.
It could be this.
Half the time, we get you there every time.
It's like the Grenada and the Grenada thing. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things with geography is there's so many island nations and islands that are part of nations, and they're just, I mean, I could have had some deep cuts in here, but I mean, these are islands we have all heard of, but we just have no idea where it is. I don't even know where to begin to guess some of these. So, you know, for geography nuts, make sure you brush up on your islands.
Right. Well, and this will help us on those nights when you're not there for pub quiz, Karen. Yeah.
All right.
Average job, guys.
Thanks, Karen.
I didn't know where a lot of these
things
were. It's not all sunshine and roses on Good Job Ruins.
All right. Let's recoup. Let's take a break for a word from our sponsor.
Hello. It is I, Pondbot 3000. I like puns, and I like Warby Parker. So I have embedded puns in the following Warby Parker message. It is time to be spectacular. Put a lid on fussy glasses shopping. True efficiency can be found at Warby Parker. They have a cornucopia of smart styles. Iris, I had multiple head modules so I can wear all of them, even though I am an Android and have perfect vision. Anyways, head over to warbyparker.com/brain, and with free expedited shipping, they won't arrive a day late. Can you believe it?
And we're back this week on Good Job Brain. We're talking about tourism and traveling the world.
Yes, and let's take a trip now. How about that?
All right.
I'd like to take you.
Where are we going?
Not to space. I have prepared for us a trip to various countries around the world, a real world tour in our hot air balloon. However, something terrible has happened to the itinerary.
Oh, no.
Someone, I'm not naming names, probably Carmen Sanmateo, from jail, decided
She's got connections.
She has people on the inside and the outside. Ruin our my travel itinerary for us, and it's all jumbled up, and I don't know where we're supposed to be going.
Oh.
Not only did she jumble up all of the letters of our destinations, but then she took the words that resulted from jumbling up the letters and switched each of those to their opposite. So,
what?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you guys a word. Then you have to figure out what the opposite of that word is. And then once you figure that out, you have to anagram those letters into
Got
the
it.
Place we are
okay.
going.
Okay.
So here is the example. I'm using this as the example because we're not going there and because it's really hard and there's no way you would have gotten this one, but I like it so much that this is the example. And you guys can write this down. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit easier if you write it all down.
Mm-hmm.
So the example is, I would give you guys the clue unfitting, and then you guys would come up with its opposite, which is apropos. This is why I'm using it as the example.
Okay.
The rest are a lot easier. And so if I were to say unfitting, you guys would say, oh, well, obviously the opposite of that is apropos.
Sapporo.
We would be going to Sapporo, exactly.
Okay.
In Japan.
Where's
right.
the S?
At the end.
Apropos is APROPOS. That's why, again,
okay.
the rest of these are much easier than that. Don't worry.
Okay. Yes. Smoke is coming out my ears.
I tried really hard to come up with, like, what would the opposite of apropos be? Yeah. Anyway. All right. Here we go. Let's do this.
All right.
Okay.
Your first clue. Everybody just go ahead and write this down. And okay. Just try to be the first person to figure it out,
all
basically.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yes. You know, don't if you want to talk it through for yourself, that's fine, but that might give other people clues, all right? It's a two-step process. Okay, here we go. Maybe you'll even get it right away. So the first clue. Less.
Oh, I got it.
We all got it.
Just say it.
Rome.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought we had to like raise our hand and you would fall on it.
No, the first person thinking of say yes.
Okay.
Less, its opposite Rome. Is more. Which anagrams to Rome. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Wow, I can't believe you.
This next one is a city in America. Different. Karen.
Ames.
A-M-E-S.
Or
Mesa.
Or Mesa, Arizona, or Ames, Iowa.
Oh.
Both totally accurate and both excellent destinations.
We'll buzz in.
You can buzz in. Just buzz in. Singles. The answer to this will be 5 letters long. Singles. Think of playing cards.
Huh. Faces?
If I had one single playing card, or if I had...
Oh.
No, not the opposite of a single. Oh, okay. The opposite of the word singles.
In playing cards.
If I had 2 playing cards.
Pairs.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh.
Dana?
Paris.
Paris.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
I was like, okay, pairs. All right.
A 5-letter word meaning the opposite.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this one you should get. Adulterated.
I was like, unadulterated.
Nope.
Yeah.
This one is a 4-letter answer.
Peru.
Yeah.
Peru, yes. Adulterated, pure. The opposite is pure. Anagrams to Peru. There we go. You're doing very well. You should get this one pretty fast. Let's see who gets it first.
Okay.
Friend. Dana.
Yemen.
Oh.
The opposite of friend is enemy.
Rival. Yeah, okay, yep. That's good. Of course.
This next one is also a country. Pleasures.
Oh.
Spain.
Wow, Colin. Yeah. Right on the spot with it.
Pains.
Yep. Pains. Yeah. It's anagrams to Spain. Here we go. Here's one. Digital.
Colin. Oh, no, I
think Dana.
Dana.
Yeah.
Thank you. Angola.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I saw Colin's hand moving. I heard yes. Angola, digital. The opposite analog. Is analog. Angola. And your final.
It's good.
This is going to be, this might be a little tricky as well, but again, I'll push you towards the right word here. Unordered. A 6-letter word meaning in order, or a 6-letter word meaning an ordered sequence of something.
Unordered, so it is ordered.
Yes.
Straight. So, sorted.
There's no S in Detroit.
when they used to break up a movie into several parts, they call it this. I mean, you'd go 1 week to see a part of a movie, and then you'd go the next week to see a part of it.
I got
Israel.
Yeah. Yes.
Cereal.
Cereal.
Yes. Cereal. Ordered anagrams to Israel.
Wow.
Good job. Fun, right?
Good job. You thought of these. These
came out of your head.
Well, I started looking at country anagrams, and they were just
kind of easy.
Well, there were only a few of them, and then I realized that a lot of them, you know, like, you know, more and friend and things like that, you know, could be clued in different ways.
Very good.
That was good.
Fun.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. All right, and we have one last segment. Colin, what you got?
Well, I definitely have airports and air travel and air tourism on the mind. I kind of fell down a airport airplane wiki hole doing some research for the show.
There's good old air hole.
So hell into the air hole. There's so much good, just fun trivia and anecdotes about the early days of air travel. And I mean, I've talked about it on the show before. It just fascinates me for some reason. Like, I mean, the whole endeavor is like really less than 100 years old. You know, I mean, like
a fly in the sky
just for like tourism and travel.
Oh, I see.
You know, I mean, like 100 years ago, if you wanted to take a serious trip, you were going on a ship or taking a train. So it's a very kind of modern thing. Chris, you know, you've talked before about the Wright brothers on the show who were doing all their famous flights in the early 1900s. Do you know what they called their invention?
The flying machine.
They did. Yeah. They called it the flying
Not
machine.
Not the airplane.
They very pointedly never called it an airplane mm-hmm. because to them, the word existed, but to them at the time, an airplane had a very specific meaning, which was just the wing. The wing was the airplane, and you would attach it to a flying machine Other inventors called it the aerodrome.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, just aerial ship. Which, you know, kind of makes me think of a blimp today, but they were still settling on the word. Eventually, kind of settled on airplane for meaning the whole thing. Airlines as a term, didn't come into play until 1914. The first airlines, they weren't passenger airlines. The first airlines were
cargo
and mail. Like there were a lot of air services. Air mail was a thing, but it was dangerous. Like air travel was not something. Oh, we're going to go on vacation. We're going on a plane. I mean, it was deadly. Like ships, much, much safer. Trains, a lot slower, much, much safer. Not ready for prime time. If only there were some heroic, galvanizing figure to sell Americans and the world on the idea of air travel. And that is, of course...
Don Draper.
Don Draper sells everything.
Before Don Draper, of course, was Charles Lindbergh.
Yes.
The Lindy Hop guy?
After whom the Lindy Hop is named. Famously did his solo flight across the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Was probably about the biggest celebrity in the world at that time that it happened. I mean, just such a big deal. I read one source said that when he came back to New York, there was more ticker tape generated in his parade than for the soldiers returning home from World War I. It was like, Lindy was the man. Again, Chris, I will tip my cap to you. I think you mentioned that, you know, when Ripley wrote his column at one point, kind of snidely pointing out, well, he wasn't the first person to cross the Atlantic, because he wasn't. You know, dozens of people had done it in airships and things like that. He was solo and succeeded. Mm-hmm. And to put it in context, there were at least six people who died, you know, in the months and years leading up to his successful attempt trying to do the same thing, solo Atlantic flight. So it wasn't just some flight of fancy, as it were. It was harrowing and
it's
a dangerous thing. Right, yeah. How does this lead into airplanes as tourism? So, despite being a huge public figure, doing, like, stunt flights is only going to take you so far, you know? And Charles Lindbergh was a smart guy and basically realized, all right, well, if I'm going to go into business, probably stay in the arena of airplanes. Just like if you're Michael Jordan, you stay in the arena of basketball. It just makes sense.
Which he did not.
Right.
But, because he unknowingly, became the brand ambassador.
He really did.
For flight.
He really did. He really did. Mm-hmm. And again, passenger airlines at the time, it was just not a big thing. But within a couple years after his flight is when it really started to take off in earnest. And he himself helped found Transcontinental Air Transport, TAT, which most people consider to be the first true, like, passenger airline for passenger tourism, passenger travel, dedicated to this. It's not just, you know, sticking you in the back of a mail flight.
Which they would do.
Yeah. And it makes sense, you know, it's a big business, and of course his name can help sell it, you know?
Yeah.
And
in fact, it became known as the Lindbergh Line. It was just kind of commonly, it was TAT, but, oh, the Lindbergh Line, sure, yeah, I'll fly the one with Charles Lindbergh associated with it. They had the first long-distance passenger service across America. Which meant that they also came up with a lot of, you know, things that to me at least seem fairly modern. Like, you know, lavatories on the plane. Makes sense. You're going to need that. Yeah. You're going to need a bathroom on a plane.
Right.
But a mail flight isn't going to have that if you're an airmail pilot. It's saving space.
How do you...
You go before you get on. Or in a bottle.
All right.
Toss that over a cornfield.
Yep. Nobody's watching except the mail.
They had flight attendants. You know, again, this is so founded in 1929 and into the early 30s. Flight attendants, they were all men originally. They had in-flight movies. In-flight movies, like in the early 30s even, and you would have a projector, and you would bolt it down really securely, and roll the screen down, It was a big deal that they didn't have parachutes on the plane, you know, for the passengers. It was really, like, an issue they had to get over of, like, no, trust us, you're not going to need a parachute, it's safe, right? So, like, you know, as I researched this a little bit more, like, I had the idea of, like, oh, this is great. Like, even though it was slow, you know, I mean, these planes flew, like, 100 miles an hour. It wasn't, 500 or 600 miles an hour. an hour. I had the idea that, okay, you could fly from New York to California. Great. Might take a while. But no, you couldn't. Like, the earliest planes, they weren't powerful enough to fly up and over the big mountain ranges. They could fly for a distance if they had enough gas, but they had to fly low and slow. So these early trips, so, like, if you were coming from, say, New York to Los Angeles, you would get on a train at Penn Station in Manhattan.
So you start your airplane trip.
Exactly, exactly. You get on a train at Penn Station, you go to Columbus, Ohio, to get past the Alleghenies, and then you would get on the plane in Columbus. So you would fly from Columbus, again, remind you, this is, they're making stops along the way, too. So you fly the plane from Columbus out to Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, you get off the plane, get on another train to go past the Rockies. Again, mountains, planes couldn't fly over. Take the train over the Rockies to New Mexico. Then you get on another plane that would take you from New Mexico into Los Angeles.
Wow.
How long did that take?
Do you know? 48 hours from New York to Los Angeles.
Again, next time the pilot tells you he has to circle for 15 minutes before landing.
Don't complain.
Right.
Right.
Did not have to ride a train, probably.
Well, yeah, I mean, otherwise you were taking the train the whole way. And to put it in context, if you were to take that same trip on train, would have taken you 72 hours.
Okay.
So you're still, hey, 2 days, but I'm shaving off 24 hours off that trip.
Right.
This was a big deal. There was a lot of, you know, bother associated with getting on and off the plane. So in addition to the thrill of riding all the way out, every passenger on these early flights was given a solid gold Tiffany's pen.
What?
The cost of a ticket was over $350. You know, again, this is 1929, early 30s. That you know, I still try and beat that price today if I'm looking for a flight from New York to Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a much more of an adventure than it was today, and of course the rest is history for air travel.
It's like going on Virgin Galactic, basically.
Again, as you say, like, I'm mad now when it's like, 15 minutes delay, I've been on this plane for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Count your lucky stars, it doesn't take you
two days. It could be worse. And that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about anagrams, about space tourism, about islands, about airport codes and airplanes. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And thanks to our sponsor, warbyparker.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.